Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Okay, well, I guess that was the only intro that we're going to get today. So welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, I believe October the 4th, if I'm not mistaken, but it's been a hectic week. So if I'm off by a day, please forgive me. If I'm not off by a day, well, there you go. You're welcome. I just told you what date it is, and yes, we are live. I am not in studio tonight because I promised I would cook dinner for the family. And having finished cooking dinner, I ran upstairs, plugged in a microphone, and came in to spend the next hour or so with you discussing a lot of things. I think one of the things that is most remarkable of all is that... I'm impressed, and I'm very rarely impressed by people, but I'm impressed by Brett Kavanaugh's willingness to take the slings and arrows, as it were, knowing himself innocent. I don't know how many people would have had the wherewithal to put themselves and put their family through what this man has been through, all these horrid, disgusting, deplorable allegations. Men, women coming out of the woodwork, accusing him of the most dastardly things, and still he kept the faith. He kept his focus firm, and no matter how much they tried, they couldn't get him to bow out. And I think that's noble. And I think nobility is a very rare thing in our day and age. It was something that the other side was hoping with all of their might, because I think from the get-go they knew that there was really nothing there. They knew that the entire allegation and the entire set of allegations were nothing but smoke and mirrors. And so their gambit, if you will, was to make life so horrible for this man that he would simply walk away, or pile on so many accusations that the president would withdraw his nomination of him. And I was discussing this with my little brother today. I don't care where you stand as far as liking Donald Trump or hating Donald Trump. He's aware enough of his own shortcomings where... He said publicly, I deserve everything that I get. I deserve the attacks. I'm used to them. I get them all the time. It's in the job description. But this man didn't deserve it. It was one of those surreal moments where you go, huh. He summed it up better than I ever could. This man didn't deserve it. And I think that there are still enough people who instinctively realize that Brett Kavanaugh was getting a raw deal. And I think this is why you're seeing all the shifting poles and all this now supposed red wave. Remember I told you 2 weeks ago, the Democrats shot themselves in the face. This was a self-inflicted wound. But if you look at it from their side, they really had no choice, because this man's confirmation means almost a generation of not being able to push their agenda on the populace via the Supreme Court. And it was another discussion that we had along the lines of this, because this has been in the news. I mean, this is what everyone's talking about. Tell me one other thing that's topped the news lately, other than the Supreme Court and Brett Kavanaugh getting confirmed. And I was discussing this with my little brother today, and I said, well, wouldn't it be grand after this man's confirmation, a week or two after, for Ruth Bader Ginsburg to give up the wrinkled ghost, and for Donald Trump to appoint another Supreme Court nominee. I think that would be the final straw. If anything would lead people to lose their minds and start to light themselves on fire on the Capitol building steps, that would probably be it. And you know what? She's no spring chicken, as the kids like to say. So if it's time, Madam Ginsburg, go towards the light. Don't fight it. I do believe that after this, 700th FBI investigation into Justice Kavanaugh's life, after having been quote-unquote cleared again, at least the Republicans will have no choice but to vote for him. And some of the Democrats, if they want to keep their Senate seats and have another cush few years, I don't think they can afford to do it either. So I do believe that come next time we meet, which is next Thursday, Justice Kavanaugh will have been confirmed to the Supreme Court. And I'd been going back and forth with some friends for the last month, you know, when all of this stuff started popping up, when all these ugly things started coming forward. And their assessment was, why doesn't, you know, Trump just drop him and nominate the next person? And I said, you don't realize what you're saying. If that happens, it'll never end. Every single person that gets nominated from here till the end of time that has conservative leanings will be besmirched to the point of having their lives utterly destroyed by these people. Plus, you know, it's hard to find decent people nowadays. They're not that abundant. So if you find a decent individual, someone who you know is, let's just call it what it is. Someone you know is normal, vanilla, if you will. Someone who's not going to surprise you with his rulings. Someone who leans a certain way, which is constitutionalist. See, he never called himself a conservative. He never called himself a Republican. The man's a constitutionalist, and this is what frightens the other side to no end. The fact that a constitutionalist will be the swing vote in the Supreme Court. And so they can't run to the Supreme Court every time they want something done their way anymore. It's the same play over and over again, whether it's homosexual marriage or something else. Anytime the people didn't see it their way, quote unquote, boom, they ran to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court ruled. Now, that's not going to happen anymore. And again, I don't care where you sit. That's a win. It's a good thing. But we seem to, how do I put it? I want to be nice because, you know, most of you are probably watching Trump's, Minnesota rally anyway. So it's chances are very few people are listening. However, I don't want to alienate you too. Let me put it this way. Our victory laps shouldn't take as long as they do. Because anytime we have a win, whether it's small or big, we take a year to celebrate. And by that time, the other side sort of gathers their wits about them and they're ready for the next confrontation. And they come, you know, both barrels and, you know, we're unprepared. We're not ready because we're still celebrating our last win. Look, you celebrate when you have total victory. We're far from total victory. And I think that more than ever, it's very important to continue pressing the advantages that we've gained over the last, you know, couple years, few years, because the battle is far from over. And if they can do harm to this nominee, if they can do harm to this president, if they can do harm to this administration, then they will do it. I think it's becoming more and more clear. The other side is being exposed for what it is. And this isn't just a difference of opinion anymore. These are people that are hell-bent on the destruction of this nation. And eventually it will come to the point of an internal revolution. It will come to the point of civil unrest in America, on American soil, started by communists. When my grandpa used to say that back in the late 80s, people would laugh at him. What do you mean communists in America? There's no such thing as communists in America. Well, communists right now are running for office, and polls are saying that they're doing pretty well. So you have communists running for office and people that are either obtuse enough or insane enough or really do think that Venezuela is a business model that we should try to emulate, that are voting for these people. So the battle isn't over. Yes, take a minute. Take 2 minutes. After you hear that Judge Kavanaugh was confirmed, get on your knees, say thank you, God. We're on the right track, headed in the right direction. But we haven't reached the destination yet. Because no matter what the FBI said, no matter what the report says, even if this woman, this Blasey Ford or whatever her name is, withdraws her statement, says she was wrong, says she wasn't even in the same state as Brett Kavanaugh, it doesn't matter to the other side. He's always going to be branded either a rapist or an attempted rapist. Now, the extent to which her allegation went was over the clothing groping. And yet this man, having denied even that, is labeled a rapist or an attempted rapist. And the other side is still beating this drum because they think it's a winning message. The one thing they don't realize when they try to demonize all men everywhere is that most women either have fathers or husbands or sons. And so when supposed U.S. Senate members stand up there and say men are demons, all men are guilty, it doesn't matter how much evidence there is against that guilt, they're still guilty anyway. Even women who would, you know, have sympathy for other women, as it were, look at it and go, hold on a second. I thought the whole idea of this country was innocent until proven guilty. I thought the whole idea of this country was that you couldn't just make something up about somebody and have them drawn and quartered without providing any evidence as to the veracity of your claim. See, when the Word of God says, you shall not bear false witness, it says so not because it happens so rarely. Let me just throw that out there. Let's spiritualize this a little bit. When the Word of God says, you shall not bear false witness, God didn't throw that in there accidentally or because there were so few people lying about other people. Even back in the day, as the kids like to say, during Old Testament times, there were enough people bringing allegations against other people falsely, wherein God included it in his commandments to his people. The roadmap to having a fulfilled life, to having civilization, one of the pillars is don't bear false witness. And the reason it was in there is because so many people lie. Yes, I said lie. They lie to get their way. They lie to get one up on somebody else in a job. There's people that lie for no apparent reason. Like Madam Clinton when she said she carries hot sauce in her purse. Now, it doesn't matter when you check Hillary Clinton's purse. She's never going to have hot sauce in it. She may have some Adderall, some Vicodin, some killer poppers. But as far as hot sauce, let's be serious, kids. There's never going to be hot sauce in that purse. So people lie. You've got Christians who lie. You've got preachers who lie. When, name them. I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole because, but when you used to see Bobby Tilton, remember Bobby Tilton? I remember Bobby Tilton. When he sat there straight-faced and told you that you'd get $10,000 if you sent him $1,000 because he was the apple of God's eye. Now, that man knew he was lying. And yet he lied. He used the name of God for filthy lucre, for gain. And he did it for many, many years. So don't you tell me that this woman had no reason to lie. I right now, even without knowing her political leanings, which I'm assuming aren't very conservative since she works for a place that provides abortion pills to women who make bad choices, as the kids like to say. Even without knowing her political leanings, I know of, I think as of today, it was like 787,000 reasons why she would lie. That's what her GoFundMe has reached. Almost $1 million. Because she's so brave. Because you have to believe a woman that has the little girl voice. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're like completely lost and in the woods. But how can you not know what I'm talking about when this has been the news for the last 2 weeks? So again, some people lie simply because they're deranged. Some people lie for 5 minutes of fame. Some people lie because Hollywood stars and starlets make videos praising their bravery and encouraging them to step forward into the light. Tell us your story and tell us your struggle. Tell us the thing that changed your life. A boy raped me when he did what? Were you raped? No, I said graped. What does that mean? Well, he groped me and I thought he was trying to rape me, but then he left me alone. So that's, I guess that's the new word. It's graped. Because you have to have that word rape in there to make all the feminists, you know, bing. All the antennas go up, but you can't accuse somebody of out-out rape because you're not crazy like this Julie Swetnick girl. So you're just, he graped me. You know, he threw me on the bed and he touched my clothing. I see. Well, thank you for your bravery. Here's $1 million. So again, backtrack here and go over a couple facts, because otherwise some of you may think I'm just being mean-spirited. I'm not. Look, I know horrible things happen. I run an orphanage where kids who are 10 and under come in with stories of horrible things having happened to them. Their own fathers or uncles having abused them and raped them. Look, I know evil people exist. I know evil exists. I've seen it. I've stared it down. But because I've seen it so often, and because I see how people who have been abused and people who have been raped and people who have had their entire world upside down react to these things, you pick up on certain how, tells, I guess is the best way I can put it. You pick up on certain synaptic responses when they're unaware of what they're doing at the moment they're doing it, because it's just instinctual to them. And having been around more children who suffered indescribable things and seeing how they react to these things. Using that experience as a springboard, I could tell you with certainty that that woman was lying, especially when she named Brett Kavanaugh as the boy who groped her. The entire body language, the entire cadence, the whole thing changed. You knew this is where the lie was coming, just watching it closely. Again, I am a student of human nature. This is one of the things that I enjoy doing is watching people and discerning, standing, going beyond the facade and the superficial, and not really listening to the words that they're saying, but understanding the reason they're saying the words that they're saying. So yes, I can say that I believed not a word of what this woman was saying. But you know what it is once you start a snowball down a hill, it's kind of difficult to stop it. Especially when you have, well, Dianne Feinstein, for one, hiring lawyers on her behalf or recommending lawyers whose only intent and purpose is to stop this man from being a Supreme Court justice, because in their minds, him being a Supreme Court justice is equal to Roe versus Wade being overturned. We talked about this, a month ago, 2-3 weeks ago. The reason they're so desperate, the reason they're going nuts, the reason they're losing their mind is because Brett Kavanaugh is a threat to their God. And these people are zealots. They don't care about Christine Blasey Ford. I guarantee you they'll throw her on the trash heap the moment they're done with her, the moment they don't need her anymore. And from that perspective, from that point of view, I'm sad for this woman. Because she has no understanding of who she threw her lot in with. She has no understanding just how corrupt and spiteful and vindictive and evil the people that she threw her lot in with are. And so they're going to use her up and spit her out when she is no longer of use. And she has outlived her usefulness at this point because they couldn't achieve their desired result. Brett Kavanaugh is going to get confirmed. I think, she's going to be a non-story. That's it. Her 5 minutes are up. She's going to take her $1 million and go surf or something. But they're going to keep hounding Brett Kavanaugh. And if you want to see an amalgamation of mentally disturbed peoples, if you want to see just how debased the human mind can become when it closes itself off to the reality of truth, of Christ, of light, of life, watch some of these protesters that are just losing their minds. So if you're anywhere near a big city or live in a big city, come Saturday, I would highly advise that you stay home. Let me put it that way. If you don't have a reason to be outside, stay indoors. Because I think that these people will lose their collective minds when they hear that this man got confirmed. Because everything they've been working towards for so many years, everything that they've been fighting for, was set back a generation in the blink of an eye. See, and I think that there's a lesson to be learned for us in what just took place and in what just transpired. Because we can either fight for what we know is right, or we can just give up and walk away at the first sign of trouble. See, we've lost the taste for fight. And I'm talking about Christians in particular. I'm talking about believers. We've lost the taste for battle. And so we find excuses and we find justifications and we find ways of explaining our cowardice to ourselves. And we see decent people just attacked to the point of having their daughters threatened with death, mocked and ridiculed. Do you understand how absolutely evil these people are? At first they called him a serial rapist, and when he said he was a virgin well into his college years, he was mocked for being a virgin. Everybody's up in arms because he got a little testy, because he was trying to defend his honor against rape allegations. And I guarantee you, if he would have shown up and not gotten testy and not raised his voice and not gotten emotional, they would have called him a robot without feelings. Ah, that's not a man that should be on the Supreme Court. Look at that, cold, dead. There's no winning with these people. And so the only thing that is viable and feasible, the only thing that'll work, is to defeat them utterly, completely. And every time you get a chance to expose them for the disgusting pustules that they are, for the hedonistic fools and heretics that they are, do it. Because I guarantee you, had not certain individuals come to Brett Kavanaugh's defense, they would have folded like an origami crane, man. But see, there are people that have known him for a very long time. The man was in charge of the nuclear football at one point during the Bush administration. I mean, there's nobody that's been vetted like this guy's been vetted. And yet, this is what they came up with. Certain people, and again, I'm one of those people that lays it out. You know, I've made my share of fun of Lindsey Graham. I call him Lindsey the Gentleman Graham. But he stepped up. He stepped up hard. And I think that the reason they wanted this 1 week extension, this supposed FBI investigation, was to let the memory of what Lindsey Graham did fade in the minds of the populace. I think that one of the best things that the Republicans can do is to play snippets of Lindsey Graham's speech just every single day, starting a week out from the election. And I guarantee you it'll be a landslide for the Republicans. Because this man's a politician. He's a political animal. For him to get so fed up that he says, all you want is power, and I hope you never get it. That is huge. And a lot of people missed it altogether. Again, what else has been happening? Seeing that this horse is dead, they jump to another one, because this is all these people do, is pivot. Every time you see the news pivot, you realize the current story is dead. There's no more that can be milked from it. There's no more gain that can be had. And so for the blink of an eye, they went, to Donald Trump's tax records. He inherited money from his daddy. Oh, my. And that was so pure, just juvenile, that story died quickly. But there were whispers, weren't there? And I think I read something from somebody that when it all comes out, you will see that Russia has been financing Donald Trump. He's been broke for years, and it's Russia that's giving him money. If any hint of Russia was in those tax records, if there was a whiff of it, That's all you'd be hearing nowadays. Because I shouldn't get into this. I should be a nice guy and let it go, but I can't. I got two emails from two different people with a link to an article. Somebody was, again, uncovering the secrets of Donald Trump. How either he's a mob boss or he's indebted to the Russians. And I know they sent those things to me out of... I hope they didn't do it to get me riled up. Because if they did, then they succeeded. And I'm not even going to name names. I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to... Look, if you did it honestly, if you sent it to me above board just to see what I thought of it, consider this for a breath. Every single reporter with unlimited budgets in this country has tried to find dirt on Donald Trump for the past 3 years. Do you honestly think that someone living out in the middle of nowhere in between feeding their chickens uncovered what pretty much every single person with a laptop and a computer is trying to uncover? Do you realize that if there was a bombshell out there about Donald Trump, you could actually auction it off to the highest bidder? Because that's how many people hate this man with enough of a passion where I guarantee you you'd hit the $10 million mark within an hour. So if amateur sleuths tell me that they uncovered or discovered something that every single professional reporter with an axe to grind against Donald Trump hasn't, allow me to be a bit skeptical, please. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm not going to go any further. Again, I hope you sent it to me for the right reasons and not to try to start a skirmish. But we have to acknowledge that this current administration is exceeding the expectations of a lot of people. Because there were honestly people out there, people I knew, people I still know, who thought that his election was the end of the world, that we were going to be embroiled in World War III by the time February rolled around, and that he was either a mad genius or an insane person. They still hadn't decided yet. And if you look at what this administration has done objectively, it's done a lot of good stuff. From moving the embassy to Jerusalem, and I know even Christians disagreed with that. Why would you? It shows that Israel still has a friend in the United States. There's no other country defending Israel at this juncture except for America. And it was a bold move to say, look, we're moving our embassy because we believe that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. That was a monster get. And still we glossed over it. The economy, by any metric, is doing stunningly well. The last administration assured everyone that those jobs were never coming back, that industry was dead in America, that we all had to learn how to be YouTube superstars and take baths in milk and Cheerios. If you don't know what I'm talking about, be thankful. It was not a pretty picture. And yet here we are. The economy is humming along, and it looks like it's getting even better. And so the other side has no platform to run on but for hate for Donald Trump. And I know there's a certain segment, there's a certain percentage of people in this country that no matter what he does, it'll never be good enough. And they will despise the man even though they have no clue why. But there are also a large number of people who have seen their paychecks growing due to the tax cuts, who were indifferent towards Donald Trump, but who realized that, hey, things are actually working out pretty well. So the reason I'm going down this particular rabbit trail is because I'm still trying to pinpoint the catalyst for revolution. I know you didn't see that one coming, did you? But I'm trying to reason out logically what the catalyst for revolution would be in this country. Will it be before the 2020 election when they realize that they have no hope of winning because the economy is doing so well? Or will it be after the election when he wins by a landslide and these people lose their minds because they can't cope with the idea of another 4 years of Donald Trump? I'm trying to reason it out in my head, and I haven't come to a conclusion yet. And so I'm just spitballing here. But whichever it is, you sitting on the sidelines is not an option. Me sitting on the sidelines is not an option. When you see something as egregious, as grievous as what just took place in the attempted destruction of a decent human being, we must be bold enough to stand up and say this is wrong. It is evil. And all it takes is for the first person to stand up and say it's evil, and then you realize just how many people acknowledge and realize that it is. They just didn't have the courage to say anything about it. Look, I expect the children of God to be bolder than the children of the world. And I'm not seeing it. You have the godless, and you have those that worship baby murder just in congressmen's doors and making fools of themselves in elevators and doing everything else, trying to stop the confirmation of this man. And whether they're being paid to do so or not is irrelevant. They're still doing it. There needs to be a counterbalance to the madness. There needs to be a counterbalance to the loons, to the crazies. Because if, let's put it this way, most of our elected officials are cowards by nature. I despise politics and politicians in ways that you can't even fathom. And if all these people see are maniacal women screaming in their faces about how Brett Kavanaugh should get out of their womb, subconsciously, they'll start to believe that they're the majority. When there is no defense of goodness, evil will prevail. When there is no light, darkness consumes everything. I'm trying to figure out why the church is being silent on this. And I can't. I really can't. I'm trying to figure out why Christians seem to be excited over the fact that they won a battle that they were never engaged in. And I know that sounds mean-spirited. I'm not trying to be. But after this whole thing blew over today and it seems like Brett Kavanaugh is going to get confirmed, I got a lot of messages from people that I hadn't heard from in a month and a half. very excited about the prospect that we're going to have another conservative on the Supreme Court. And I even wrote a couple of them, where were you when all this was unfolding? Where were you when all this was taking place? Where were you when there needed to be a defense of decency? We cannot be afraid of repercussions. We cannot be afraid of what others might think about us. Because if we allow fear to dictate how we act and react to the things that are happening around us, the other side's already won. And what we're seeing is just a Pyrrhic victory. Meaningless. See, this needs to embolden people to stand up for what's right, because people have to realize when you stand up for what's right, sometimes right wins. When you stand up for decency, sometimes decency comes out on top. We can't take credit for the victories that others fought on our behalf. Because eventually, even those who fight on our behalf are going to grow weary. You go to one battle, then to two battles, then to three battles, and it's the same people, it's the same faces. It's the same old curmudgeons that are holding the line. But after the battle's over, man, there's a lot of people celebrating. There's people doing victory laps. There's people high-fiving each other. And the old curmudgeons that were on the front lines are too tired to say anything because they just finished fighting a fight. And they barely had enough time to catch their breath when another battle is imminent. And they're hoping to themselves, hey, maybe this time all those people that were high-fiving and doing victory laps, maybe this time they'll show up for the battle, huh? What do you think? Maybe? Because I'm still healing from the last one. And the old curmudgeons go back on the front line and they're hoping against hope that this time there will be new faces. But no, it's still them, just a handful. And maybe this time they get to push the darkness back one more time, or maybe this time the darkness overcomes them, but eventually, inevitably, if it's just that handful of people doing the fighting against the hordes of darkness, without help and without aid and without others stepping up, they're just going to get tired at one point. They're just going to get weary. They're going to get to that point where they start questioning and wondering what it is that they're fighting for. Because you know what? I'm not fighting so that you can do a victory lap. I'm fighting because I've got kids. And if this place goes to hell, there's nowhere else to go. And it amazes me that so few see it in those parameters. It amazes me that so many believers are unconcerned. I will not be Jonah under a palm tree wondering why God hasn't destroyed. I will fight. And the troubling thing, the thing that saddens me, is that by the time some people wake up to the reality that they too need to fight, the battle will have already been lost. By any metric, this man's confirmation to the Supreme Court is a victory. If you had a hand in it, if you made your voice known, if you objected to the treatment that him and his family were subjected to, by all means, take a victory lap. But if you didn't, yes, you're allowed to be happy, you're allowed to celebrate. But just remember, this thing was on a razor's edge. And it could have gone the other way. And it would have been very ugly. Because if the other side could have stopped this from going through, they would have been emboldened to the point that no matter who was nominated next would have gotten the same treatment, would have been put through the same paces, and it would likely have been the same outcome. Because these people understand that if it succeeds once, it will succeed again and again and again. This is why this was so important. If they managed to stop this with simple allegations, without any corroborating evidence, without any corroborating testimony, then it would have been chaos from here on in. This is why they rage. And eventually their rage will spill over into violence. And depending on how that violence is met, we're either very close to civil unrest in this country or we still have a little ways. Because if violence is allowed and take place without being completely shut down, even brutally so, it will just multiply. No, this is why I believe that if evidence arises that this woman made it up, she needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Because it's the only thing that'll stop the next one from doing the same thing when the time comes. And although $1 million is great incentive, they may think twice about doing it if there's a risk of going to prison. Look, we're not out of the woods by any means. Because if the other side knows anything, it knows how to fight when it's down. And for some reason, our side starts to show mercy when the enemy is wounded. This isn't laser tag. This is war. And this is the one thing that we need to understand above all else. This is not play fighting. And so if we could secure the Supreme Court, which it would seem that we have done, let's not ease back on the throttle, shall we? Because if we do, they will find a way, I guarantee you, they will find a way to remove this man from the office to which he's being confirmed. They're already talking about it. because there's nothing sacrosanct to these people. To them, it's only about power. Burn it all down. They don't care. Destroy every institution. They don't care. Will it give us power? If the answer is that yes, then by all means, proceed. And so it's time for us to be sober. It's time for us to look in the mirror and look into our hearts and see whether or not we're doing the fighting and not just the celebrating. Whether or not we're taking victory laps without having exerted ourselves, or whether we're celebrating because we were in the thick of it and came out on the other side. This is the thing that's been on my heart. And I know that it has meaning for somebody. It has to be for someone. You've seen what soccer games or football games. Well, mostly soccer, because they won't let you come on the football field after your team wins. But after a team wins on the soccer field, all the fans rush the field and start celebrating with the players as though they themselves won a victory. No, they were just spectators. And they're spectators who were happy about an outcome. But they're not the ones that ran on the field and sweat and sprained their legs and caught an elbow to the face. They were just observers. Sure, they cheered. They're fans after all, but they were still just observers. And because they were just observers, even though they're celebrating with the team that won, they're not going to receive the reward that the team will receive because they exerted themselves to the point of victory. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Is it becoming clear? See, it's the team that won gets the bonus for winning. It's not the spectator or the observer. Make sure that you're not just an observer. Make sure that you're not just a spectator. Because if you want to receive your reward, then you have to be in the fight. If you want to receive the prize, then you have to be in the race. And once you're in the fight, once you're in the race, once you understand what it all means, then perhaps you'll realize that any wasted time is folly. And any mercy that we show our mortal enemy will only come back to bite us. We are at war. Don't doubt for a second that we're not. And if you think that the enemy will show you mercy, and if you think that the enemy will grant you privilege because you weren't on the front lines, then you're fooling yourself. The only way the enemy of light will leave you be is if you too become an enemy of light. So that's just a parting thought, I guess. Thank you. all for joining us. Thank you for taking the time, even though I'm competing with Donald Trump's Minnesota rally. May God bless you. May God keep you. And Lord willing, we will see each other next week. Gino, it's all yours.
Hey, Mike. Well, we had several listeners tonight, so they're not all watching Trump, but I think very important few points that Mike made. Number one, the great sin of many times in the church is the sin of silence, you know, where we don't speak up, stand up, and be strong advocating for the faith. As I said a few times on the show, we had instances in my hometown where we had to really stand up and encourage leaders to take a stand, especially against a couple very bad clubs in our town, nightclubs. And thankfully, with God's power, help, strength, we got victory. And now we've turned a big corner in our hometown. Third Street was once a war zone. The very street that Hand of Help Ministries is on, our church, was an absolute 3 years ago, not so much by Hand of Help, but further down, was a war zone. Friday and Saturday night were 10 o'clock at night, you would not be walking down that street with your kids. And by being, you know, as Mike preached tonight or spoke tonight, by standing against evil and standing strong and encouraging leaders to defend those values, today those buildings are, both of them are, have no nightclubs in them. And it's a victory God gave us. Second of all, Third Street's one of the absolute most family-friendly streets now in town, with Christian ministry and businesses on them. And so God wants to do that in our nation. November 6th is a very important day to vote. I'd advocate for you to vote. I would also pray that eventually gay marriage and Roe versus Wade and taking prayer out of schools would all be overturned one day, and we could literally see the preborn protected and God's value, not man's, of traditional marriage. Yes, it is man's value, but God-given, it would be reinstated. And finally, it'd be very important as a country to put Christ, the Bible, and Christian Judeo values in the schools again. So that, I think I'm going to try to make some recordings of Mike's show tonight. I think it hit on a lot of points that others should hear. So as I travel down the road here, I think it'd be important to bring some of these with us. Mike and I will be doing a state meeting in Indiana in October, and so we will, it's going to be in Shipshewana, Indiana, actually, October 19th at Ben's Pretzel Conference Room in Shipshewana at 6:30. That's 100 Berkshire Avenue. So if you want, please get the word out that we are going to have a Hand to Help state meeting in Shipshewana, Indiana, Friday night, October 19th at 6:30 p.m. God bless you. Thanks so much for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast tonight.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. Or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.